You're listening to Market Champions, a podcast on navigating the financial markets. Here's your host, Srivasa Prakash.
This episode of Market Champions is brought to you by Simplify ETFs. For more information, visit simplify.us. No Simplify funds will be discussed during this podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Market Champions. Today, we've got Maj Soedan from Geo Investing. He's here to talk about one of his best ideas, KTEL. You can find the ticker is KTEL. The company is Conatel, right?
Yeah, Conatel, yep.
Yep, awesome. So, I could pretty much just say to take it off from here, but so could you just talk a little bit about number one, what information arbitrage is to you? Because this is what you would consider an information arbitrage play. So, so what exactly does that mean to you?
Yeah, look, and thanks, Srivasa, for having me here today. This is awesome. And I've been looking forward to coming back and talking to you. We did it a little bit of time ago and it was fun. Yep. And we've been going back and forth for a little bit, trying to find out when to come back on.
Yep.
So I'm glad we're doing this. But, you know, I like keeping investing simple, or at least when I'm talking to other investors and especially younger investors, because investing can seem intimidating to some. Mm-hmm. And if you can keep it simple and find success early on, I think that helps a lot to build confidence. And there's a few simple ways that any investor at any level really can do that. And it's not brainiac. It's not, you don't have to go to Harvard to do it. It's just basically turning over rocks and reading information and comparing information and finding it. And information arbitrage is one of those things. And it really surfaces in the nanocap area where everyone's ignoring information. So you're able to find information. So basically it's, you know, finding information in hidden places that no one's looking, you know, or comparing information across different sources to find these mispricings where the stock price isn't taken into account, all this bullish or maybe bearish information, depending on what your angle is, right? And we do a lot of that where, in, you know, comparing press releases to conference call transcripts to SEC filings to presentations and then management interviews. And we try basically, we take all the information, make checklists, you know, what information is different across different sources, and you're hoping to find, you know, buried in some sources that people don't look for.
Yep.
You can find information. And there's also, you know, going to websites, government websites, mm-hmm. online for little clues here and there. And that's how it's information arbitrage in a nutshell. So it really plays a big part of what we do at Geo. And of course, it's, you know, you can do it ahead of time. There's nothing earth shattering, right? You're just comparing things, but at Geo, we understand, you know, a lot of investors don't have time. They have, you know, have real jobs and we can shorten that discovery for them. And we spend a lot of time doing that. Now, a lot of our members too on Geo are doing it with us. You know, I created a little think tank on Geo with a little chat room I'm testing right now with some of our better members on Geo. We call them research contributors. And we're out there hunting for all these little information arbitrage clues to help mm-hmm. us. Little tells, right? So I'm going to talk about one of them today, right. Which is Conatel. Mm-hmm. And actually, Conatel came to me through one of our subscribers on Geo. And he knew that we like the cloud communication space. We're following, and we've been bullish on two stocks, which I own, by the way. I own all three of these stocks, by the way, which Altigen and Crescendo. They're both nanocap companies in the UCaaS market, Unified Communication as a Service market.
Yep.
And because of that, I got a phone call from Chris Palm. And he basically said, hey, you know, I know you love this space. Why aren't you looking at Conatel? I'm like, who? Not another one. Because I'm sick of these cloud companies. And we went through it, and I left there, okay, this is a pretty interesting company, but well, what's so special here? And then we found some of these information arbitrage clues along the way that may, it might be one of my most favorite right now in that of those three companies. I think they're all multi-backers, by the way. So with Konatel, let me tell you what they do first really easily here. So they basically are a telecom company and they rent, you know, telecom space, whatever, from, you know, the major telecom companies like Verizon, T-Mobile,
right,
AT&T, and, you know, those are called MVNOs. That's that relationship. You're basically reselling, you know, inventory of telecom lines. And it's, but it's a shitty business though. I mean, it's low margin. You really, I mean, what kind of value are you really adding? But you know, they're willing to go into places. The MVNOs will service areas maybe like that the big guys won't, you know, won't service protect, you know, particularly well. The CEO, Sean McEwen, is the founder of the company, and he has a great, so the first thing I noticed right away was this guy has a great track record. In the past, where he actually developed the modern 911 dispatch system that we use here in the U.S. and sold it. The name of the company actually, let me pull it up here. I think I have it here. Give you some real good background here. It was called Tri-Tech Software, and I guess and he sold it. You know, he took it from zero to 40 million in revenue. Sold the company. You know, took a break from it. You know, the entrepreneurial world. Got bored, came back, and along the way, he bought this MVNO, these dying MVNO assets. I think around 2014 or so. Then realized that the MVNO business is crappy. That he needs to find some other way to utilize the MVNO relationship. How do you do it? And he went out and purchased two companies along the way before he went public, I think in 17, through a reverse merger. And there's two parts of the business now. That he leverages this MVNO type of relationship to offer one part of the business is offering telecom services to low-income households. Now that's where the information arbitrage sits, which I'll get to in a second. It's about 20% of the business. It's called Infinity Mobile. The other part of the business is their more their cloud communication, hosted communication space, where they took the MVNO business and they decided, you know, what's actually turned this into a sexier cloud communication business. They went and purchased a company, Aperon, to do that. And now they are basically like a Twilio, which is a what do you call it? Platform communication. I think was it PCAS? I think what is it? Communication platform as a service. I think that's what it is actually. CPAS. I'm sorry, I get confused with all these acronyms. Altigen and CXD are more of the UCAS. So Konatel is more of a platform service. You know, so if a UCAS is part of that, is part of a bigger, is part of a bigger kind of communication, cloud communication solution.
Right.
But what CPaaS is, offers, like, you know, basically it offers a company many different types of services that it can layer on, including maybe UCAS, to help build their communication service. So it's a more of a platform service. Now, when you look at, the first thing I noticed when I looked at that, I was, okay, that's interesting. The revenue's been sitting around, you know, 8-9 million for a few years, and then around break even, losing a little bit of money. And when you look at the valuation of Konatel versus like a Twilio, which is, I think, in the 20 times revenue range, Konatel is sitting at around 3 maybe. You know, you start thinking, okay, and then you look at RingCentral and 20 times, close 20 times revenue, and you look at Five9, which has got acquired $14 billion by Zoom. Which is in all this space, was selling well over 20 times revenue. So you see some interesting thing. Okay, well, of course, you have the mispricing, if there is one, is because Konatel hasn't grown revenue yet that aggressively. It just came out, reverse merged, you know, not too long ago. No one really knows it's a nano cap. So those are the things that are helping to keep it depressed. So what's the catalyst here? And there were, I interviewed the management team to find originally, because I really wanted to learn more about, you know, the hosted communication side of this, because that's a sexy business. That's the ATG and CXDO.
Yep.
And then, you know, through that, I learned about, oh, wow, the real opportunity might, at least short term, might be in the Infinity Mobile. Now, before I get into the information arbitrage and Infinity Mobile, by the way, revenues are about, we said, I think they finished like last year around $9 million or so in the total company. The one thing, you know, whenever I'm looking at companies, I'm looking for not only information arbitrage, but I'm looking for these really, what is the one thing about a company or one thing happening that really excites me? One thing I liked about the hosted communication side of the business was, although they have been growing their revenue, but they maintained it. In totality, when you look at the under the hood, the SEC filings are showing that there's not much growth in revenue. When mm-hmm. you look under the hood, you'll see the hosted communication side of it is kind of growing. And the only reason the consolidated revenue is coming down is because the other side, the MVNO part of it isn't growing as much anymore. So what they're losing there, they're getting in the cloud communication side. And soon you're looking for that time where it's going to finally apples to apples, where you're going to have growth. You know, where the growth you're going to have in the hosted communication side of the business is going to make up for the growth that you're losing in the dying business or the MVNO business. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was looking for. And I wanted to know when's that going to happen. So it was kind of cool that they've been at least able to maintain revenue and grow the hosted communication revenue in a respectable space pace. But then what he told me was all the revenue gains they were getting from the hosted communication side of the business was mainly from inbound sales. Just, you know, really not going out there and hitting the pavement. So that told me they had something, right? They're not even out there really marketing the company. Yep. And they're able to maintain revenue. Another interesting thing about that, they own a lot of their network. Even though they have relationships with tier one carriers, along the way in your network, you can own nodes of it to be able to have better quality service and more reliable service to your customers, and maybe actually offer better prices along the way. So that was interesting, but the real big thing was this. So the CEOs had basically communicated to us that, all right, now we're ready to basically turn the sales engine on. We're gonna be more aggressive, go out there with a much more aggressive marketing plan. Now that we kind of past break even a little bit, we can start putting cash flow towards growing that business.
Right.
And really turn it on, and they paid down some of their debt they had too. So that was interesting. So I just wanted, it was more like a wait and see thing. We bought a little bit of it around 40 cents at the time. This is beginning of the year. And it was more like a wait and see position. You know, we like it enough to have a position. We don't love it enough to know if they really reached that inflection point of growth. So just waiting around. And then it wasn't too long after that I started digging more into the Infinity Mobile side of the business, which is the boring side of this, right? The one I don't care about it thing. Cause it's, you know, it's a very small part of the business. And then we had one of our GeoInvesting members, Glenn, wanted to write an article on the company for Geo. So we worked together, interviewed management together, and we decided, okay, let's do this. And as we were writing the article, we were doing some research, and digging into the research, we found that there's an incredible inflection point going on of growth for Infinity Mobile. So Infinity Mobile works is based on a program called Lifeline.
Yep.
Lifeline is a government subsidized program that was established actually during the Reagan administration.
Right.
Republican, if that surprises you, but to basically make sure that low income households have telecom services. And at that time, it worked like this, that the government would pay either $9.25 for a family, subsidize a telecom service for that, or $34.99. So for most people, if you don't live on a, if your address was never associated with tribal land, the $9.25 subsidy applied. If the address that you're lighting up service for was at any time associated with the tribal land, the subsidy is $34.99. Wow. Pretty interesting, right? So that was the original plan. So now Sean bought Infinity Mobile. It was part of that reverse merger transaction. He bought, you know, Aperon and Infinity Mobile, and then went public with them. So he bought it for real cheap, as you know, because at that time, $9.25 isn't a great subsidy when you really think about it. I mean, you have to, you know, because, but he couldn't find an economic way of, at that time, of really making money. But he thought, well, you know what, let me buy it just in case, because they at least, Infinity Mobile was approved in 8 states, or is. So basically, let me take a step back here a second. So a part of this Lifeline program, you got to get approved by the FCC to be able to be in the program. Mm-hmm. Then you got to get hunting in the states to get approval in the state level. So you got approved in 8 states. One of them is Oklahoma. Oklahoma has a large amount of tribal land. So they have 6,000 lines there about now, I guess, 6,000 lines. And they're getting $34.99 for that. And that makes economical sense for them. So it was like, he didn't know necessarily where that was going to take him. But, you know, at the time he bought them, they were applying for California, to get into California also. And Sean thought, if they ever got California, and I'll get that in a second too, why that's so, that would be really big deal for the company. So that was the bet he made. You know, he bought it really pretty cheap. Infinity Mobile, he bought it cheap. He was getting some recurring revenue, recurring-ish from the tribal land. It's profitable revenue. Then you got this little California upside potential if they were able to get that license. So fast forward to today, and I'm like, all right, well, we found some information on the internet and hidden on a government website about this. I think it's called the EBB plan, Emergency Broadband Benefit Program. And it was basically passed alongside the coronavirus stimulus bills going on.
Yeah.
And $3.2 billion was set aside to this basically Lifeline type of program. And what it did was significantly increased the subsidies to offer these services. And not all of the Lifeline providers qualified. You had to offer certain services and bundle services to qualify for this. And Conatel was one of those. So here's the cool thing about it. So remember, they have 6,000 lines they're lighting up in Oklahoma, mm-hmm. at $34.99 a month. They're allowed to go in 7 other states, which they haven't really gone into yet. Okay. And they're applied for California. I'm taking it back, a couple months. The EBB program passes, and it changes the subsidy requirements. So now for this $3.2 billion, that's they're up for grabs by these providers. The $9.25 goes to $34.99. So now you got this huge increase there. And now you have all of a sudden you have incentive to go into these other states you're not in, the 7 states, right? It makes sense. And
wow,
the $34.99 tribal land goes to like $85.
Jeez.
So overnight, the 6,000 lines get up to $85. This is up to, so I don't know what the up to is, but for the most part, you're gonna get a huge increase there for doing nothing, basically. And that was really interesting. And when we bought a lot, that's when we started being more aggressive with the stock, and we talking to geovestment members about it. But the company, some of the information arbitrage that was taking place was the company wasn't really out there talking about this. They didn't want to go out there pumping the stock. They didn't want to go putting press releases about it. And when they did talk about it, they really didn't talk about the potential financial impact on the company. They didn't get into the subsidy rates. They just basically said, hey, we got approved for the EBB. But you would have to dig deeper to get that, right? But we kept doing, we did that. We were pounding the table to our members, hey, you know, look at this. This is really, you know, this is awesome. Okay, so if you're looking at, well, what's the downside? What's the caveat? Well, here's the caveat. That's $3.2 billion. And once that goes, you know, what happens when that $3.2 billion is used up? Like the Lifeline product is just the product that stays. Yeah, so the EBB is a $3.2 billion product, and that would have to be refunded. So the question you might ask, what happens at the end of that time? What happens when $3.2 billion goes away? Well, scenario one, that they just take it away and never re-up it. Mm-hmm. I mean, are they really going to take away phones from, you know, low-income households? I don't think so, especially this current administration. The number two scenario is the rates maybe come down, but they extend it again or reduce it to some degree. And the third one is they keep it permanent. They keep going with it. And my thing is that the government wants you to have phones, first of all. They get more about you. They want more phones. It's a way to reach people. Think about everything with the elections. We were getting text messages all the time about, you know, during the elections. So I for sure, you know, the liberals, Democrats are going to want people to have phones, right? Because, but especially because they're low income households, they probably have a bigger following there too. But and it's also a program that you can't, as a Republican, you can't. It's not ethical or moral to say, no, we want to fight against this. So I think it's going to stay in some fashion. Just don't know how. But let's say it went away. Let's just take the worst case scenario. Went away. Well, this is where the second piece of information arbitrage arrives. We knew that by, you know, searching on the internet and searching on different websites, regulatory websites in California, that Conatel was actually, you know, remember they put their application in to be approved for California a while ago. Well, we found out that there was a board meeting coming up in California.
There's a what coming?
Utility Public Commission board vote. They do these like monthly votes, right? These monthly meetings, and Conatel was on the docket. It was recommended to the board that they approve Conatel for the Florida Lifeline product in California, and we were able to, we tracked it, and we went on a live stream. We stayed on all day listening to the boring meeting, and Conatel finally came up, and you know, they approved it. So we were on that. That's the information arbitrage. We're on that thing, you know, and no one really was talking about it.
Yep.
And even the company really didn't talk about it much still. They really haven't talked about the economics of this. And what is so good about this? I mean, California is going to be the biggest, it's going to, you know, their biggest market for Lifeline. So, and has some tribal land too. But the cool thing about this is that not only do you get these, the subsidy from the government, but in California, you get another $20, $25, something like that, just from California. So let's go back to a worst case scenario where it's back to 925, right? Well, you're back to 925, plus you're getting 20 some bucks from, you know, California. You're back up to a really nice, interesting place there. So now that's real, to me, the big opportunity for them is California, really. And if you do some soft numbers, and I hate doing this, hey, if you get 1% of the market, 5% of the market, whatever. But if you do some conservative like numbers, like 5% of the market, in a market that's not, you know, California hasn't allowed anybody in that Lifeline program for, I think, 3-4 years. So it's not easy to get there. Mm-hmm. So there's some kind of moat. You can paint a scenario of getting well over 20 million in revenue in that segment, when right now it's doing about, maybe 2 million. And pretty quickly, I mean, I could see this like in 18 months being, maybe over 20 million. The current revenue of the company right now is about 9 million. And this piece of the program, the Lifeline is only about $1.5 million, 2 million. So that's really, I mean, to me, it's pretty awesome. It's a bet worth taking. The stock went to over a dollar, kind of slow truck over a dollar. Now it's pulled back again with the market. It's, you know, 65, 70 cents again, which we added some stock and we told our members we did that last week. Last week was actually our high conviction pick of the week. We do that once in a while. And so that's just an interesting story of like this all, none of this information was in press releases. None of it was in the SEC filings. It was basically just by digging research and learning. We wanted to learn more about the Lifeline program. As we're doing that, we came across the EBB program. And then we, found out, they've applied to California. Well, how's that going? And then we found that information. That was really, it's really fulfilling to be able to have done that. But we're amazed the stock is still sitting down here. But you know, we got to give the company credit for management for not pumping the stock. Not out there, waving pom poms. They don't want to piss off regulators. I mean, I'm assuming they don't want to piss off competitors who might want to protest them getting some of this California, maybe, who knows.
Yep.
So that's a classic case of, now it's really, this is pretty awesome. It's like a perfect storm for them because remember I had said that they want to turn on the marketing engine for their hosted communication side of the business, the cloud side. Well, all this cash was now going to hopefully come in from the EBB and Lifeline program, which can help accelerate that. It's going to be high margin business, going to flow right to the bottom line. And it's going to be very sticky revenue for, many years to come, I think. And I mean, if you just going to the other seven states now out of Oklahoma, that's an opportunity. So you see a lot of potential catalysts. Now, will they execute? That's the risk here, right? I mean, the question you want to ask here obviously is, how are they going to sell these lines, right? How are they going to go to, in the other states like Maryland that they're approved in and light up lines. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of these agents that they use in Oklahoma are the same agents in other states too. So they have relationships with these agents, but I mean, they're just gonna get a small piece of it. But I'm not looking at the EBB as the big one. I'm looking, if it sticks around, it's great. I'm looking at California as the big opportunity because that's where they have limited competition of being able to do this. So, and there was a time, by the way, where they were actually, when they didn't have the license in California, they were actually selling services in California as a reseller of another person who had a license. And they were lighting up a lot of lines then. So that shows they can do it. And so I'm pretty excited to see how that kind of plays out over time. And I think I think once the market figures it out, you got two pieces of recurring revenue potential. You got the hosted communication side. And you got this side, and they're both recurring revenue or sticky revenue. Mm-hmm. I think the market's going to love this. I can really see these guys get into that, 10 plus EV to sales multiple.
Got it. Then I just sort of, could you just sort of like sum that up quickly at the end so that, if someone missed out on something, they could just, I guess, quickly recap it.
Oh, yeah, sure. So the thesis?
Yeah, basically the thesis.
Yeah. Sure. So basically, we have CoIntel, basically a cloud communication platform, as well as offering services to low income households through their Lifeline program and the EBB program mm-hmm. that was originally passed. I think that the catalysts here are going to be increased marketing engine turned on for the cloud communication side of the business. And on the low-income household subsidy business, the new rates that came through on the EBB program should really give the coming up great cash flow. Plus, the approval in California that they got to offer Lifeline services is going to definitely be a huge revenue and cash flow driver for years to come. And these two can work synergistically, where Lifeline's going to be able to help finance a lot of the growth of the hosted communication service. And there's a possibility maybe they can spin off the divisions at one point, or maybe sell the company. I don't know. And I think the company is worth significant multiples of where it's at today. And it's trading, I think, today at about 70 cents.
Mm-hmm. Yep, got it. And, to to our audience today, you know, if you enjoyed, you know, this episode where Madge shared one of his best ideas, we're actually going to be back next week with one more of his best ideas. So, you know, make sure to stay tuned for that. And any last words?
And I want to tee that one up too. So what if I told you, so this was this one company that we want to talk about next week. I was going to talk about today, but I spent 4 hours last night looking at all the filings. This is an OTC company. And there's a few more questions I need to ask Madge before I put myself on the line here and doing this. But the way I see it is this. What if I told you at a company, you know, that's at over 100 million in revenue run rate, selling an EV to sales less than one, moving to a recurring revenue model, profitable, that companies buying back stock, insiders are buying back stock. Insiders are actually in press releases asking investors that, hey, if you want to sell stock, we'll buy your stock, pay down all their debt. This just all happened and close their credit line. And one of their customers has the option to buy the company.
Mm-hmm.
Predicated upon the company basically paying down all its debt and not having any encumbrances. It's a really interesting scenario. I mean, I don't know. It's pretty awesome. And no one's really kind of stock. And now I started buying the stock in 2019, but I got really bullish on it over the last like month or so. And we've been talking about that at Geo for the last couple weeks, actually. And I don't think anyone's listening, but we're still trying. It's very illiquid, which is what we like. I think there's maybe a couple million shares in the float.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a classic story of a company that was almost dead, but I actually just found it. It was just reborn, and I took a bet in the CEO and his tenacity to want to build the company up again. And what I really liked about it was him and his father have a lot of skin in the game. And basically we're just like, screw everybody else who didn't believe in us. I don't care what they think. We're going to make this work. You know, and he's proven 3 years later here that he's on his way, I think. So, but hopefully we can talk about that next week. Once I drill down a little bit more on the business model.
Yep. Awesome. Well, Madge, thank you so much for being on. It was awesome hearing your KTL thesis. And hopefully next week, we'll get the other one done as well. And I think our listeners are going to really enjoy it. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Ben. I'm glad for your success too. I think you're having a lot of success. You're graduating.
Thank you.
You got some good jobs lined up. So it's really good that you're out there showing young investors that they can compete in this, you know, this tough market.
Well, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Market Champions. To never miss an episode, make sure to subscribe, and we'll see you next time.